This podcast brought to you by Peterson Auto Group. With 5 stores and 10 brands and more than 1,800 new and used vehicles to choose from, Peterson Auto Group likely has your perfect car.
Live from the Next Title Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI. This is Bronco Tuesday, where we discuss the Olympic sports at Boise State. Now, here are Paul J. Schneider, Chris Walton, and the voice of the Broncos, Bob Beeler, on 670 KBOI.
Top of the morning, got a couple of coaches on today. And we're going to start off this morning with Dan Potter, the head golf at Boise State. Broncos coming back off a third-place finish. Yeah, third-place finish, you go, but you lose by 2 strokes.
Yeah.
I mean, that was as exciting of a golf tournament, I think, as I can remember Boise State being involved in.
It was the most exciting one that I've been involved in, for sure, with Boise State. And, yeah, it was a lot of fun. It literally came down to the 18th hole there at Tucson National. Our guys had a great first round. They put themselves in position, and they backed it up with 2 great days. And we were playing against great teams kind of coming down the stretch who did what you would expect them to do. They played great, and our guys were nose to nose with them all the way to the end. So it was a blast.
And on the individual side, Brian Humphries, your freshman, won the whole tournament. So he'll be going on to the NCAAs. He really played well all 3 days.
He did. Brian was on his game, and we've seen what he can do, what he's capable of when he is on his game. It was a course that he was able to get comfortable on really quickly. He's an excellent putter, and he's very accurate when his long game is on. He gives himself a lot of good birdie chances, and he did that all week, and he made his fair share.
Were you surprised? I mean, you got Danny at 12 under, or Brian, excuse me, at 12 under, and Danny Hopewhite comes in at 10 under par. My goodness, that's pretty impressive.
That was awesome. You know, Donnie is, I've been saying all year, Donnie is as physically gifted as anybody in the conference. And, you know, he just was able to take the next step mentally going into this tournament. And he dug deep and kind of found something inside himself and allowed that ability to come out all 3 rounds. And we needed it. It was huge, but it was sure fun to watch.
Now, getting back to Brian for winning the tournament, was there a point, you know, you're watching, you're coaching, that you're thinking, he can win this thing?
Oh, I knew that. I knew that starting round one, to be honest with you, because I knew he was playing well. I knew he had prepared and was in a good place as far as his game goes. And, I mean, he started the tournament, he birdied the first hole, and he eagled the second. So right there, you know that he's ready to go, and he's just one of those guys. He's won before, so he knows how to do that. That's a huge deal. And you know, sleeping on the lead he was playing with, I think, the 15th ranked player in the country from UNLV, a guy named John Oda. That's, you know, he'll make a lot of money playing golf before too long. And so that's a tall order for a freshman trying to win that kind of a tournament against a kid that's a clear favorite. And so I walked around with Brian the last day just to keep him relaxed, if nothing else. And he was a lot more relaxed than I was, I'm sure.
Now, was there anything that Donnie could have done to get into the tournament? You think at 10 under, my God, he ought to qualify for at least a shot in the regionals.
Yeah.
Anything that could happen there?
You know, we'll see how it shakes out. We'll find out on May 4th. The NCAA does kind of their selection show, and it'll be based on, you know, kind of the criteria that they take from the entire year. So
he has a shot.
He definitely has a shot. And we'll find out on May 4th. But you know, it bodes well for Donnie going into, you know, this summer and next year, and he's a different guy after this week for sure, and one to watch for in the future, whether he goes to regionals next week or not, or in a couple weeks.
Just one senior on the team, so you got a good group coming back.
We got a good group coming back. We had 3 freshmen there at the conference championship, which was a blast. I call them freshmen, but they played so much and they grew up so much, you know, throughout the course of the year that, you know, we got 3 great players that are coming back. Kyle Mitsunaga went out in style. You know, he's a kid that was an elite level hockey player right here in Boise and kind of switched over to golf his senior year in high school. Has always just been an awesome guy to have on the team. He gets excellent grades. He's very physically gifted and was kind of in and out of the lineup for him this year for the first time, but you would not have known it. He went and was an awesome senior leader at the conference championship, shot one under par his last round, finished like a champion and what you would expect for a guy like him.
Well, that's pretty impressive stuff. Did they exceed your expectations?
You know, they did. I knew that our guys were good players and that they were capable of mixing it up. We had a great first round, which didn't surprise me at all. Really going into the second round, we were going to be paired with UNLV and San Diego State in the last group, and that was a big moment for our guys. And they showed me something that, you know, I thought they were capable of, but I didn't honestly know if we were going to get it in that spot. And they did, and all I could tell them going into the third round was just how good they looked that second day, and to continue to believe in themselves. And, you know, that last round was just going to be no different other than what they make it in their heads. And if they can get themselves to just boil it down to hitting the next shot, then they would be great. And they were the whole day.
All right, Dan, thanks for talking with us, and best of luck in the regionals, of course, to your lone golfer and maybe some more.
Thank you. Great. Right. Much appreciated.
Dan Potter, head golf coach at Boise State. It's 8:47.
Now back to Bronco Tuesday on 670 KBOI.
All right, so we are back. Greg Patton, Boise State tennis coach, joined us now. Coach, it's kind of a redo thing here. Just got done playing Utah State, and you turn right around and get them in the first round of the conference tournament.
You know, I kind of love it. It's because, you know, we really got a good feel for how they play. And all our guys, we write out evaluations after the match. You know, what did their opponent do well? What did we do well? What did they – where's the perceived weakness and their game that we can exploit? And how can we basically do what we do best and play our own games? And this, so it's a great opportunity to go right back at them the next time, because I think we're more informed about how they play and how we need to play. And, you know, we take notes every year, and I have an extensive thing on notes on every team that we've played and scouting reports on the players. But, you know, it's amazing how much players change in a year. And you really can tell the good coaches, because their players do improve at the good programs. And Utah State's done a great job with their guys getting better. They beat a team that's top 10 in the country. They beat TCU during the course of the season. And they're a great team. But, you know, I think you've heard me say this, and I believe this fervently. You know, some people don't believe in miracles. I believe they happen every day. We're really young, and we're getting better. And it's the drag about youth, having all freshmen and sophomores, is that they get down. Sometimes they have a bloated concept of who they are, and then if they don't excel right away, they become self-destructive. And so my job is to keep building them up, you know, and keep getting the super glue and keep the joy of competing going in. So this is like a rebirth, rejuvenation, you know, I'll be honest, we were supposed to host this maybe around 6-7 years ago when our team was like top 15 in the country, and it got kind of, you know, stolen away from us. There's no other way. I mean, we were set to do it, but it was not that year, but a year or so before, they just said, you know, that UNLV and Fresno State wanted, you know, they kind of butted in. And it was disappointing, because at that time, what a way to showcase our program, to be able to play at home with a team that was a top 20 team. This year is a rebuilding, which is brand new, and it's great. I mean, I feel I'm so, you know, jacked up, because I really got to dig down deep and be a better coach, you know, because there's so many young guys, and they're getting so much experience playing older, more mature teams that are just basically in some ways at, you know, we're going to be that good when we get to be their age. So it's been, I'm looking forward to it. I'm so excited about this weekend, and you know, it's a, I like the immediacy of and almost how critical and crucial it is. It's one or done. You know, to be honest with you, we've played our conference and we always knew that we were going to get in the NCAA because we were a top, you know, top 20, top 30, you know, team that we would get in the big dance. And now we're playing for our lives. And there's kind of a, it's a thrill. I'm a thrill seeker. And I have a few guys on my team that are like that. I got to get everybody like that. Yeah. Embrace the challenge. Go out there and play our best and almost welcome how good your opponent plays. Because it's kind of like I liken it to going skiing. Who likes to ski on a bunny hill? You want to go down the Black Diamonds. You want to have a lot of powder,
get some
right?
speed going.
Yep.
Now, 6 o'clock is the match against Utah State. There'll be 4 matches all day for people that want to come out, starting at 9 in the morning.
It'll be like Woodstock, baby. We're going to have, right at 9, we're going to have 4 matches in quarterfinals. Saturday, we're going to have the semis at 1:30 and 6, and then the finals will be at 1:30 on Sunday. So people, come on out. And it looks like the weather's going to be good.
Yeah, it is going to be a nice weekend. Got to take a break. It's 8:52.
Now, back to Bronco Tuesday on 670 KBOI.
All right, we're back talking with Greg Patton. I'll ask you a question, Bob. Any teams in the NCAA tournament from the Mountain West?
You know, I think Utah State is a sure thing. They beat TCU as a top 10 team in the country. They've been with the National Indoors. They've had a great, great year. And, you know, it's a credit. That's kind of got Boise State written all over that Utah State team is. Clancy Shields, who played for us. I coached him on the national team when he was a kid. Played for us. He was my assistant coach. He went to Utah State. Now, the drag about an assistant coach leaving is you want them to do well. And I have 12 guys that are now head coaches around the country that have either played for me or coached for me, with me. And when they leave, they have your recruiting list, and they know what we can offer, and they know how they can outbid you. And that's the whole thing is, what, you know, we have we don't give all full scholarships. We're you know, it's percentages. We're always, you know, divvying out percentages because we don't have very limited. And that team is, I look at those guys playing against us and I think, oh my God, there's 3 guys on that team at the top that we're thinking about coming to us. And so, but it's the way it is. That's life. I'm really happy for them and the success they've had. But I'm more happier when we have a lot of success.
All right. Give the schedule again, Bob.
6 o'clock for Boise State against Utah State on Friday. Boise State wins that one. 6 o'clock on Saturday. 1:30 on Sunday. Yeah, and there's a lot of other matches going on all weekend.
Yeah, I'm saying I'm going to go up to Table Rock to the cross and say a little prayer that we're a little blessed this week. I love to keep our mojo and our magic going for the last few years.
All right, thanks, Coach. KBOI News Time, 8:56. Idaho Talks Live coming up after a news break at the top of the hour.
If you're talking about it,
they're getting nervous, and they should be nervous.
You know, I kind of disagree with what you're saying.
We're talking about it.
You know, I think it's kind of great that you guys have that duality.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time, 9:07. Top of the morning, Paul Jane. Chris, senior administration official said this morning President Trump was upset by the coverage and the suggestion that he is backing off his wall, as seen by his tweet this morning. Actually, see if there's any headlines up there now. No, there have been headlines this morning, though, saying that Trump is backing off, pressuring for the wall.
Okay.
It's such up there right now.
It's starting to look like the cost of it would have to be paid out over a long period of time.
Yeah, White House officials said the president expects money for the wall this week. Wait a minute. I thought Mexico was going to pay for it.
Well, maybe that's where he's trying to get it.
The official did not say he's willing to shut down the government to get it. He's threatening to shut down the U.S. government Last night, White House officials said Trump was willing to wait until the next budget negotiations for fiscal year 18.
Oh, for a wall?
Mm-hmm. The president expects to get funding to get started in fiscal year 17 and more in fiscal year 18. But the key point remains, this according to CNN, he won't shut down the government over it.
Okay.
I don't know how accurate CNN has been in predicting what Trump's going to do.
Well, good point. But, you know, the whole 100 days thing, I mean, we're coming up on the 99th day is the day that if there is no bill, they will have to shut down the government.
Yeah.
Until they can figure out how to pay for it.
Which we've become accustomed to.
Mm-hmm.
The officials said they believe the president will ultimately accept money for the border security in general for 2017 and not the wall in particular. A distinction that Trump may try to glaze over, but a key distinction all the same. Yeah, well, sure, we're getting money for the wall, right? No.
Yeah, over the weekend, there were, I think, the defense secretary, two or three other people who were on some of the TV shows, especially the Sunday morning shows, and they kept saying that, yes, this week there would be some motion toward more security at the border, but a couple of them wouldn't say wall. They wouldn't even mention that. They just said, yes, we're going forward on more security on the border, basically meaning that a wall isn't yet something that we can afford to do.
And a lot of stories have come out over the last, I don't know, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. Where do you build the wall? What side of the river?
Yeah.
And the fact that they would have to use a lot of private land to build this wall. And how do they get that land?
Yeah, there are a lot of problems with it. I mean, you can't fly it in with a bunch of, Chinooks and drop it.
Yeah. So do we give you've seen the Rio Grande, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not a great river. I mean, you know, let's get that out there.
Let's not float it for fun.
No, it's not a great river. So I'm not saying that if you give up the Rio Grande, that Mexico is getting one of the great waterways of the world, because they're not. And if
but they're getting one of the waterways.
But they are getting one of the, would you call it a key waterway? It's a border.
It's a border. So, I mean,
that's basically all it is.
I think there are people who really don't understand why you need a wall along the river.
Because
that's what the river was for. As long as you've got security, if you've got people patrolling different places, and which, you know, they do have border security, border guards, not one every, 100 yards, but they do have them.
Yep. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. Apparently, at least what we're seeing is that they're not going to threaten to shut down the government over funding for the wall.
Gary of Emmett has written in to say,
which I thought was going to be funded by
Mexico.
Mexico.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Gary's on the phone.
Oh, okay. Well, then I'll just let Gary say it.
Hang on a second here.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. Gary is on line one. So let's go to Gary. Gary, good morning.
Well, first of all, thank you for mentioning me, Chris, and thank you, Paul, this morning. I wasn't going to talk about the iridium. What I was going to say is something that just always irks me, and that is the fact that when the Republicans were not in the majority, and then they said, we will not go along with the budget, they were blamed with shutting the government down.
So true.
Now, they're the majority, and they're proposing the government, the budget. Then the Democrats are the ones who will not vote for that budget, but they're not told or called the ones who are shutting the government down. But if this government was shut down, it would because the Democrats do not go along with the proposed budget. They're the ones shutting it down.
Does this surprise you at all?
No, but it's the way it's always talked about.
Yeah, it's hard to complain about, because what do you say? Stop doing what we were just doing.
Well, and it's like the Republicans, complaining about how much golf President Obama played, and now all of a sudden they have a president who plays way more golf than Obama played, so it can't be an issue anymore.
Well, that's right. So why are people saying the Republicans are shutting down the government now?
I don't have any idea. But, because it's politics.
Yeah, I know. But anyhow, yesterday or the day before, I believe now, apparently there was a load of iridium-192 stolen in Mexico, and 9 Mexican states were put on alert. Now, that's enough iridium. Apparently, there's enough quantity to make a dirty bomb. If a dirty bomb could get across the border into a city in the United States, now they don't kill a lot of people, but they could cause billions of dollars of damage. Billions. And so that's just another to the fact also that, you know, Kim Jong-un would not be opposed to, you know, getting some sappers from North Korea, if possible, to carry across a nuclear bomb into the United States. And, you know, you say, well, you can't get it across the border. Well, if they can smuggle loads of illicit drugs across the border, they can smuggle a nuclear weapon across the border. And when you're talking about the border along the river, if you saw that river, that's one of the most difficult places to patrol.
No doubt.
And one of the easiest places to sneak across. You take a couple of people who are dedicated, that river would be impossible to defend unless there was a wall. I'm talking about brush, uneven terrain, water, which conceals. You know, that's a perfect place to come across the border. You got to think about a border, if it is going to be a defensible border, like a wall that's being assaulted during a war.
Yeah. All right, so we have to move on. Gary, thanks for the call. KBOI News Time, 9:15.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul, Jay, and Chris. More local talk with Nate Shellman is live this afternoon at 3 on 670 KBOI.
Paul, Jay, and Chris on a Tuesday morning. Kind of a breezy, cool Tuesday, 44 degrees.
Wow.
It's not, we're not floating the river. There they went. How long before some idiot does that, Chris?
I'm sort of surprised it hasn't already happened.
First, what? Maybe the first 70-degree day, 75-degree day?
Something like that.
Yeah. We had a couple of numbskulls out there Saturday morning at 2 o'clock in the morning waiting in the river. And guess what?
What?
One of them got swept away. Well, golly, how in the world did that happen?
Might have been the current.
You think?
Yeah.
They had to go get him.
Wasn't the past.
KBOI rewards code is WALL, W-A-L-L. Go to 670KBOI.com, enter WALL, earn today's 5,000 rewards points.
Saw Jeff Sessions on TV several times over the the weekend, and he is promising that he's going to crack down, you know, being a Fed, he's going to crack down on all the states that have legalized marijuana, which are several now, including California and Oregon and Alaska and Washington and Colorado and D.C. at least, and I think there are a couple more. And also, Canada is apparently going to legalize it very possibly nationwide. So, but he said he was going to crack down. He was talking about just bales of marijuana coming across the border from Mexico. And the fact of the matter is, I was reading a story that said very little of it even comes from Mexico anymore because people
can grow it here.
Yeah, people can grow it, and you can grow it in, you know, several states, and it's legal, so it doesn't even have to come from another country. And even if it did, they'd probably get it from Canada because it's easier, and you don't have to deal with cartels.
Is there some part of Jeff Sessions that reminds you of Henry Gibson?
Oh, very much. Yeah,
I can't, from laughing,
I hadn't even thought of that, but you're absolutely right.
Take him seriously.
Oh, they could be brothers, couldn't they?
Yeah. I see Sessions, I'm going, I'm waiting for the punchline.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's I don't know. I mean, the thing about it, I don't care about marijuana one way or the other, and I've told you that.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, the people who already smoke it are going to be the ones, if they legalize it, that'll still smoke it, and the ones who don't probably won't start. You know, because if you haven't started by now, you know, why would you even try?
Yeah.
Sessions is just real. I mean, he really wants to crack down on that because it is a national law.
Mm-hmm.
And he just thinks that instead of it being repealed, that what we should do is, tighten up the borders more. Because he assumes that's where it's all coming from.
It's not, and
do raids in California and Washington and Colorado and all these places, which the feds have stopped doing. Now, for a while there, it was in California, it was legal to have medicinal marijuana grows, and yet they would still raid those and they'd take everything. Even though in the state of California, technically it was legal, it was still against federal law. So the feds, you know, the FBI would show up and they'd take everybody away. There's less of that now since more and more states have legalized it. But it's because he kind of wants to crack down on it. And essentially his idea of solving this whole problem is to shut off the borders, and anybody you catch with something, just put them right into prison for as long as possible. Well, that's what we've been doing, and it's been getting worse for 50 years.
Yeah. I mean, you go back to the Reagans and Just Say No,
yeah,
and the war on drugs and all of this stuff. I guess maybe we were naive in those days thinking, you know what, we can do this. I mean,
there was a time in the in the early 80s, you know, when Nancy Reagan first came out with the whole Just Say No, and they said one of the biggest things they were going to do is fight this huge drug problem.
Mm-hmm.
There were certain sections of the country that had no idea there was a drug problem at that time.
No.
And it got so much publicity on television that a lot of them said, hey, that is a way we could make some extra money. And so that backfired.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm sure you might go to prison.
Wait, I mean, you're going to run into the state law versus the federal law.
Yeah. Well,
with more and more frequency from now on.
Always do.
KBOI News Time, 9:26.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 10, listen to Rush on 670 KBOI.
Is there such a thing as a clean bomb? I mean, we hear about dirty bombs all the time. And you know, when a bomb goes off,
I suppose the opposite of a dirty bomb would be a clean bomb.
Yeah, well, pretty much everything once a bomb goes off is
dirty.
Or at least out of place, I mean, for sure.
Yeah. I don't know.
Got some instant messages here. The disgruntled vet says, let the government shut down. At least they won't be spending money we don't have. And he's got a point there. I mean, if the government's not working, they're probably not spending money. H.G. McCall says the Mexican drug cartels, not nice people, grow huge amounts of marijuana in the mountains of Idaho. Okay, there we go. So it's not coming across the border. They just grow it here. They set up camp, grow the stuff, leave a mess, and they are a dangerous group. So we do get our grass from Mexicans. Bad stuff. Okay, from Mexicans, but not from Mexico.
You know, and drones are kind of turning into whistleblowers now, because you can, with minimal risk of being seen, you can see marijuana growing in the middle of forest.
Mm-hmm. Boise Rabble Rouser has written in, and apparently he knows about what Gary was talking about, but apparently it didn't happen just now. He says, I like raining on Alex Jones-inspired conspiracists. The iridium stolen in Mexico was recovered in March of 2016. Whew, back to my nap. So I guess he looked up the entire thing.
See, now they are touting, I'm just reading on USA Today,
mm-hmm,
marijuana as a miracle treatment for children with autism.
Well, and it's not smoking marijuana, and it's not THC, which is the stuff that apparently gives you the high.
Right.
It's just there's some property of cannabis that they can make oil out of that helps kids with seizures and helps the ones that, you know, that their mind can't focus on stuff. I guess there are a bunch of different things it'll help with. It helps with nausea with some people.
They went through this in the Idaho legislature in the last couple of years.
And they didn't believe it.
They did not.
Right.
You are absolutely correct.
Or if they believed it, they said, well, we believe it, but we don't care. Hmm. Dave of Boise says, I would guess that the property owners along the area of the proposed wall would be on board. The ones that are against it should be watched because they are probably in cahoots with the Mexicans. The river would become international waters if it's not already. Whoever controls it now would continue controlling it, I would assume. Well, and again, I mean...
See, he's assuming.
Well, I would assume is how we sometimes get into trouble as well. You know, this sounds reasonable. Well, it did sound reasonable, but the government did it, so they didn't do it the reasonable way. So, yes, you're wrong, it turns out.
So that
now, let me
international waters thing intrigues me, but do they have, like, every mile of the Rio Grande who's...
I don't know.
Or is international waters, does that mean
like I said,
that both countries control?
I've seen the Rio Grande, but I have not hiked it.
No, it's not your beautiful river.
Yeah.
But key, it is key.
Well, yeah, well, it's like you say, it's a border, so it's just bound to be. KMD Acuna says, on this wall thing, why can't we bring most of deployed military troops home and station them along the southern border? They are already paid for, and they have the equipment. Plus, it would be good training for them. They could certainly control the flow of illegals much better than any fence. I still feel like that would be expensive, but I think that would be an easier solution.
What he's saying, though,
if you simply patrolled more of the border.
We have to house and feed these guys anyway.
Good point.
That's what he's saying.
Yeah, and they're being paid to be somewhere.
Yeah. The White House appears to be backing off its demand for immediate funding to begin construction of a wall on the southwest border, opting instead to fight for money in the 2018 budget, as we said earlier, and make it easier for Congress to avert a government shutdown this week. White House Counselor Kellyanne Conway said on Fox News the wall remains a priority for President Trump, but does not have to be funded in the spending bill that Congress must pass this week to prevent a government shutdown at midnight on Friday.
Well, and that's what happens when you get into a tight spot where we have to fund the government by this Friday. Okay, I'm going to have to drop a few demands, and so are you.
Yep.
Otherwise, we're never going to do it. And like I said, there have been plenty of negotiators in Washington who aren't willing to drop any of their demands.
True, and
which is
Trump,
which is why we actually shut down the government a couple of times.
President Trump did tweet out, "Don't let the fake media tell you I've changed my position on the wall. It will get built. It will help stop drugs, human trafficking, etc."
Yeah, and the thing is, I wouldn't say that he's changed his position on the wall at all. I mean, that's always been his biggest, his biggest subject. And if he says, okay, I'm not going to push it so that, you know, next week we have to build the thing because, you know, it's not feasible, that doesn't mean he's given it up. It just means that we're not going to do it next week.
But again, it doesn't sound like...
Or this year, probably.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like...
Because it'll be expensive.
Mexico's going to pay for it.
Right.
Don't see that anywhere.
I mean, you can make up money for something in a different way. But what are they saying? It's probably going to cost about $80 billion.
Yeah, some.
Yeah, it's that you don't make that up like in a month.
No, if ever. I don't know. Interesting. KBOI News Time 9:43. You're listening to Idaho Talks Live.
River flows on the Boise River. Doesn't look like they'll be slowing down anytime soon. The latest on the river and flooding coming up on 670 KBOI.
Remember, you are listening to Idaho Talks Live on 670 KBOI.
All right, Joe, we are back.
I got one more quick instant message here. David of Boise says, what about the opiates or heroin or cocaine-based drugs? How can pot be any worse than one of those? The bottom line is that if a drug can be used for good, then why not allow it? The answer would be money and power. If pot is legalized, lots of powerful people will lose money and power. It has nothing to do with the wall or with the well-being of U.S. citizens. Yeah, I didn't
some
mean
some truth in there.
I didn't mean to indicate that they're not going to still crack down on heroin and cocaine and things like that. I was just saying that. You know, the trend is that more and more places are legalizing marijuana. And when Jeff Sessions comes in, he says, I'm going to get rid of every ounce of marijuana that's in this country. To which, I mean, the first thing I think to myself is, no, you're not.
No, he's not. And as this guy indicates, some marijuana is used for good.
Well, and opiates. I mean, they're painkillers, right? You prescribe them for pain.
Yep.
So, not 100 years ago, but it was probably like 130 years ago. You could go to the drugstore and buy from Bayer, the people that make aspirin, you could buy a bottle of Bayer heroin. And there were recommendations on when to use it. In fact, they even, for teething, they said it was one of those things you should rub on the baby's teeth.
Far odd, man.
Bit of a different world back then.
Well.
And of course, at that time, Coca-Cola still
had cocaine.
Cocaine. And people would. Like there was even one of the popes that had a little thing where he drank some kind of cocaine solution all the time just so he could stay awake.
Mm-hmm.
It was a different sort of world.
Have you seen the picture of the tree stump on Mars? You seen that?
I have not.
UFO hunters claim an image taken by NASA's Mars Curiosity rover shows a tree stump on the surface of Mars. It looks like a tree stump.
Is it a rock?
No, come look at it.
All right. A rock. if it's wood, it's petrified wood.
But, are you downer?
Well, I'm just saying it doesn't look like a tree stump to me. It looks like a rock.
Video.
And besides it, nothing can live on Mars by itself. I don't think.
Well, didn't say it was live.
Well, okay, that's true.
A video posted to YouTube by Paranormal Crucible highlights the feature on the surface of Mars, speculating it could be the petrified remains of a Martian tree.
Or
a rock.
Almost anything else, really.
The object is 3 feet in height with numerous discoveries of plant and animal life on Mars. It would be logical to assume that a variety of tree either existed or still exists on Mars.
Yeah. I'm going to go with no.
Okay. All right, let's go to Pro Life. Pro, you're on 670 KBOI. Good morning. Hang on a sec. It's doing it again, Chris.
Ah.
All right, hang on. I'm going to put you on hold here.
Hold on. We have to hit an extra button.
And then I'm going to go boom. No, we still don't have you.
Yeah, hold on.
Hang on a sec. So then I went like this.
Yeah.
And now I'll go. Are you there? No.
No. You want to just like, you know, you want to push it hard? Maybe that'll work. Okay, that doesn't seem to be working.
Nope.
It's a good question. Pro-Life just asked, will Pro-Life ever get on the radio?
So what am I doing wrong here? Do you know? No?
Well,
we
can hear you too, but you're coming through the speaker on the phone. As opposed to
All right, I'm going to put you on hold again.
As opposed to the radio itself.
All right, now you try to put them on. Dun, dun, dun. Hang on, Pro. This happened with the doctor earlier.
This is. I'm sure.
There we go. All right,
okay,
Pro.
Great.
Good morning.
Yeah. Hey, that sounds pretty good.
Yep.
Okay, we lived down in Mexico about 30 years ago, right along the border, the California border, and what would happen is the hundreds and thousands of people would line up all at once, kind of maybe at night, and then they would all rush across the border at once. Well, they'd have a lot of, the Border Patrol could see the people building up, so there'd be a lot of them there, but they couldn't catch all of them.
Oh, no.
So maybe half of them would get through. Now, in an area like that, of course, you need a border wall. But along the Rio Grande, I don't think you do. But I think that if if you had drones controlling the border that could look into Mexico and see if there was a buildup, even in a remote area,
sure,
a buildup of people, then they could put the Border Patrol, lots of them there, and they could just monitor all of that, and they wouldn't have to build a wall. So I say that if Congress right now doesn't want to build the wall, they should send appropriations of men and equipment, drones, whatever it takes, to the president to have him sign, and maybe they can cut it off 100%, have no intrusions on the border through means other than a wall. Mm-hmm. And if they do that, well, then they can say, now we don't have to build the wall. But I don't see anybody in Congress saying that kind of stuff or proposing that. That's what they ought to do.
Well, and, you know, it's like the old weapons of mass destruction thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to define stuff. So a wall, I suppose, in places could be a physical wall, and in other places could be an electronic wall, if you will.
Laser beams, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they might have to do something like that, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, that's about all I got, and sorry you were...
I don't know what was wrong there, but we got it fixed.
Well, there's gremlins that don't want pro-life on the radio.
I think you're right. Thanks, bro. See you
all
later.
Right, see you.
That's amazing.
I mean, don't make fun of the guy just because he has a funny name.
No. Well, let's change it to that.
The latest polls essentially say that about 62% of Americans think the wall is kind of a dumb idea.
Well,
I think a physical wall. But I think the reason that a lot of, you know, stopping people from coming across the borders illegally, they're all for that. But they think a huge physical wall like the Great Wall of China or the Berlin Wall would make people think that we're more like China or you know, the way the Soviet Union used to be, or the Eastern Bloc. And I don't think that's really the...
We don't want to be compared.
No, it's not really the image we want to convey to the rest of the world. And that's what about 62 to 65% generally. And of course, like I said, you know, depending on the poll you take, different people say different things.
Sure.
But generally, most of the people say, you know, let's not actually build a physical wall. And I think that they would love to have a series of fences of some sort. You know, anything that doesn't cost $80 billion.
Yeah, but...
maybe you could cut it down to $70
billion. It's so long.
Yeah.
Well,
it would go over mountainous regions and all sorts of things like that.
Yeah, so it's not like it's on the flat. It's going to be hard to engineer.
Yeah.
And then there's tunnels that go under walls.
Yeah, walls don't tend to solve that.
Right. I'm going to have to take this call, so you're saying
this off. In the same way that they don't solve airplanes. Hey, we'll be back tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. See you then.